Full count on Hampson. The pitch. Line through the left side, a base hit in the left field. Pham sprints around third. Verdugo's throw to the plate. Offline, not in time. Pham scores standing. Garrett Hampson takes the extra base. He drives in another run in this postseason. And the Royals lead 3-1 in the top of the fourth inning. Garrett Hampson is 2-for-2 tonight and 3-for-3 this October.
Jake Eisenberg on the call right here on The Fan. Of course, game 3 tomorrow night at Kauffman Stadium here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show at 5 o'clock. First pitch at 6:08. And let's welcome in our Royals insider, Josh Ferner. He's brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, Royals fans. There will be a few Buds in that parking lot, I would say. Budweiser's, that is. I mean, I guess there could be some others.
It's legal in Missouri.
Yeah,
cool.
That's true. Yeah, there'll be multiple Buds in the parking lot tomorrow as fans are. That atmosphere, we can't wait for that. I can't wait to be out there tomorrow.
Yeah, and it was already going to be electric, and then Jazz Chisholm gave the capacity crowd a villain, something to rally around. I understand what he was saying until that word lucky. But boy, did he make a big time mistake, and he'll hear it.
Yeah,
he'll hear it coming up on Wednesday.
He's going to be booed, right? Every time he steps in the batter's box, don't you think?
Yeah. I certainly do, and I'm certainly a supporter of it. Why not? That's what this is about. I mean, Aaron Judge is already going to be ridden hard by Royals fans throughout Wednesday and Thursday night. And now Jazz Chisholm, I think, is taking some of that from Judge and putting it on his own shoulders.
I kind of like, Vern, that the very first guy to show you how to throw it back in someone's face, similar to those 14 and 15 teams did, was Salvador Perez. He sticks his tongue out right after Rodon does it to him in the first inning and, like, just immediately kind of puts the onus back on him. I like that it's Salvi who did it kind of first in that, like, initial moment, because he's the guy who remembers all of those runs when they're doing the neck chop back at different Astros players. You know, like, it kind of feels like it's got that same energy all of a sudden.
Yeah, the Kendrys Morales, Lance McCullers throat chop. Cole Reagans last night showed as much of his competitiveness. I mean, let that stuff come out. I've never really seen that from the normally mild manner, or at least composed, Cole Reagans. Yeah, after Juan Soto gave him his usual stare down as he drew that first inning walk, Reagans punches his ticket in his next at-bat and returns the stare. Normally, Reagans does not fall for that stuff, but I love to see it. I love to see the competitor inside a guy like Cole Reagans or Bobby Witt Jr. It's not very often you see that fire inside of them. You know it's in there, or else they wouldn't be as great as they are. Yeah, as far as Salvi and wagging the tongue
so good.
Base. Yeah, that was hilarious, and he couldn't help but laugh about it after the game. Honestly, what Rodon did in the first inning, guys, I can't really remember another. Yeah, I mentioned this earlier today to Fesco and them, but it's very Twitter. It was very young media member that doesn't understand it's a long game, it's a long season, it's a strange sport. To celebrate like that in the first inning is very 2024. First inning, let's tweet about how the Yankees stink and not wait for the following 24 outs.
He looked like an MMA fighter. The guys were like waving their arms, swag into the ring, and they get K'd in like 12 seconds.
The defensive back that's down 35-7. He breaks one up in the end zone and comes up talking trash, you know, putting the sword away and stuff.
Yeah, that is very, very true. I mean, it adds to this series, though, for tomorrow night. Now, I know you talked about this on postgame a little bit last night, but other than Bobby, who we can focus on in a second, guys like Garrett Hampson and Yuli Gurriel, Tommy Pham, like the old guys with experience are stepping up in these big moments.
Salvi, 35 playoff games. Tommy Pham, 35 playoff games. Yuli Gurriel, 90 playoff games. And Garrett Hampson making his third separate postseason run. Those guys scored the four runs in that four-run fourth inning. Listen, I'm not going to say that the Royals are fortunate to leave New York with a split, because that's not how I feel. I mean, the Yankees are just as fortunate to have a split as the Royals are to have a 1-1 series returning to Kauffman Stadium. But coming, not just coming into this series, all season long, there's no debate of who the five most valuable Royals are. It's Bobby, Salvi, Vinny, Reagans, and Lugo. I guess you could debate Michael Wacha and Vinny Pasquantino, I guess. But it's the big three bats, and it's your top two starters. Well, one starter's yet to appear. If you want to throw Wacha into the mix, okay, well, none of your starters have seen the fifth inning. Bobby and Vinny are a combined 0-4-19, and outside of a 402-foot blast off of the bat of Salvador Perez, those three are a combined 0-4-16. They're not fortunate, but this is why I feel as if the Royals are just in complete control, because just like you're not going to keep Aaron Judge down forever, you're not going to keep Bobby Witt Jr. down forever. They got to face Cole Reagans in a game five. They got to see Seth Lugo coming up on Wednesday. The Royals stars are yet to be stars, and there's no reason to believe that they won't begin to shine starting on Wednesday night. Soto's been good. Judge, Judge hasn't been the difference maker, but he's still, got on base twice, scored a run in the opener. He hasn't been awful. He hasn't been a superstar. He's done more than Bobby has at the plate. Obviously, Bobby's done more defensively, but superstars, MVP candidates, I believe, will return to their studly form, and I think that'll happen as soon as tomorrow night.
Vern, has Michael Massey been the single best player in the series for the Royals?
I think so, yeah. Offensively, defensively, not too much to write home about on the base paths, but yeah, well-roundedness. It's him. Tommy Pham had a nice night last night, bouncing from left field to right field, making plays on both sides. Yeah, I'd still put Yuli Gurriel probably in the two-spot battle in Salvador Perez for that silver medal if we're handing out ALDS trophies. Yeah, it's Massey, it's Salvi, it's Yuli Gurriel, because even though Salvi's offensive numbers, he has a hit in every single playoff game, but they're not as eye-popping and not a lot of extra base hits outside of last night's home run. What he's doing behind the dish, the way that he's guiding these pitchers through the games have been, well, reflective of a 13-year veteran.
You said it, Bobby Witt Jr., 0-for-5 back-to-back nights. It's the first time that's happened in 3 years in the big league. So, it's about time it happened, I guess. How dare he have that happen 3 years into his career?
Right.
Nobody's all that worried, but I think the word the text line uses is like a little concerned. The reason why I'm not all that concerned is because I just saw him in the series prior against Baltimore
Right. Come
up with two game-winning RBI.
Yeah, and they're pitching him well. If you look at his 10 at-bats, he finds himself in an 0-2 hole, especially in last night's game, finds himself in an 0-2 hole pretty quickly. You have to paint if you're going to come into Bobby Witt Jr. Same thing for Aaron Judge. You look at some of the pitches that Reagans was making to the big fella yesterday, some quality pitches, and yes, Judge missed a few tasty offerings from Reagans over the center of the plate last night. But still, credit to the pitching of the Royals, credit to the pitching of the Yankees for holding down those studly righties. But listen, Bobby, I was just about to go and listen to your conversation with J.J. Piccolo, and I was seeing how it was labeled on our website. And it says, Royals general manager J.J. Piccolo joins Cody and Gold to discuss Bobby Witt Jr.'s postseason struggles. And, man, he's won two games. I know you guys didn't write it, but
we don't write
He won the two games in Baltimore. He helps take a game in New York with a pair of outstanding defensive plays, inning-ending double plays. Yeah, 0-for-5, I understand, but he's 3-1 so far in his postseason career, and he's struggling?
Vern,
no, I'm not worried about Bobby Witt Jr. whatsoever. He's too fast, right? I mean, the speed is going to snap this skid, if nothing else.
Let me ask you a baseball question as a guy who's watched and cared about baseball his entire life. Is Giancarlo Stanton the slowest player you've ever seen?
No, there has to be like...
like when he went a race Benji in Bartolo Molina. Cologne or something?
Benji Molina, there you go.
Benji Molina. I mean, that dude was a rectangle running around the bases. So I'll say that he was a touch slower. But, I mean, to your point...
It's had an impact in the series.
Yeah, he's cost him at least three runs across the first two games, right? Game one's a blowout if he can run. If you were listening to Denny's call in the first inning, again, two on, two outs after Reagan's punches Judge and Wells out. Runners on first and second, and Giancarlo Stanton hits like a dribbler to the right side to Michael Massey, and someone with a bit of speed could have made that close, could have extended that threat in the first inning, but off the bat, Denny Matthews says, hit to the right side, Stanton can't run. Out number three. I mean, just a declarative statement that Stanton cannot run. And Aaron Boone was asked about it yesterday. Hey, is there any thought to, you know, to hell with it? It's October. We're going for the World Series and just let it loose down the first baseline. And Aaron Boone basically said, well, he has a decision to make. Basically put the onus on Stanton, saying,
jeez.
Yeah, business decisions right now are happening from our designated hitter.
Guaranteed checks in baseball, man. You don't have to worry about the health thing. Just get yourself down the line. At that point, I guess, would you seriously consider taking him out of the lineup if you're the Yankees?
Well, I mean, for who?
They're not super deep.
Jason Dominguez, I guess, you know, he can run into one maybe just as easily as Giancarlo Stanton. Listen, I'm not opposed to it if I'm Aaron Boone, although I guess I would be siding with a rookie making his playoff debut in Dominguez over a guy in Stanton who has still been hitting the ball hard. No, he can't move, but he can hit the ball hard.
I just don't even get the business decision part. He's 34. He's under contract for two more years, making $32 million next year. When he's 36, he's making $19. There's no opt-outs or anything. Like, what is business decision for what? Like, he doesn't have a big contract on the horizon in a month from now. It's not like he's a 28-year-old free agent.
He wants to go like surfing or something.
I think it's more like business decision in that if he steps on the gas pedal out of the box, he's going to pull that hamstring. Yeah. He's going to tear something. He doesn't trust his body to ramp up
to make
quickly
through the rest of the postseason.
But that's what I'm saying is like, you're in the damn playoffs, dude. Like, right. What do you
risk it?
If you were a month away from your first big payday, I maybe understand it a little bit more. I'm just saying, like,
Vinny's playing with a still broken thumb. He doesn't even have a contract.
Well said.
Bingo,
100% right. And again, the business decision aspect of it, I think, has less to do with money, more so than I'm going to listen to my body.
Gotcha.
But to your point, I'm sure Vinny's body right now is saying, stop playing baseball. My thumb hurts like a son of a bitch. But he continues to run out there for the boys.
Bingo. We're talking to Josh Vernier. One final question for him, and then he's got his on-deck show, of course, tomorrow coming up at 5 o'clock. Seth Lugo, I know we'll talk more tomorrow with you about this, but multiple starting pitchers now that haven't made it past the fifth inning, is this just that we should almost expect how they're going to manage it also? Like, I know pitch count was a problem yesterday, but with how great the bullpen has been, is this what they're going to do? Like, would we be surprised to see a pitcher even go six innings now?
I hope not. You know, I hope Seth Lugo can be the Seth Lugo that we've become accustomed to seeing. You know, bullpen picked up Cole Reagans last night.
Sure.
You know, look at what Tarek Skubal did. Look at what Zach Wheeler did. Look at what the best pitchers in baseball are doing. Reagans did not answer the bell last night, and he was picked up again by his defense and his bullpen. No, I'm still going into that game tomorrow expecting six innings from Seth Lugo. Now, you feel better if he's unable to do that he can be picked up by his bullpen, right? I don't think any of us thought that was possible for a majority of this season, but... Yeah, Reagans didn't deserve to come back out in the fifth inning, even at 87 pitches. Even if that was 77 pitches, his command was shaky. You saw Salvi come out in the fourth inning and tell the bench, hey, get somebody up. He does not have his good stuff. So it was apparent to Salvi last night. And then Michael Wacha back on Saturday, he was up in the zone pretty consistently in that third and fourth inning. He was getting hit hard early on in that game. So Wacha and Reagan simply didn't get the job done. Now, they weren't bad. They battled. They made pitches when they needed to. They kept their team in the game. But thank God this bullpen has righted itself over the past month.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, will check in again with you tomorrow, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Vern doing a great job, of course. Postseason baseball, his postgame shows have been a lot of fun to listen to with the Royals run here for the first time since 2015. He'll join us tomorrow at 12:30 as well.
Can't wait. Obviously, I'm excited about Kauffman Stadium baseball. That's all.
No, tomorrow's...
You and I are both planning on being there, covering it from a media perspective. Try to get you some fun stuff after the game and some things to talk about. Certainly in there, but I mean, yeah, this... We're the home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. I want to hear playoff baseball on Crystal Clear FM. Could you imagine? Imagine how much better it's going to sound versus 14 on the radio, you know? Sounded good in 14. Sounded great in 15. Now we're on FM, gold. Now nothing. We're unstoppable. You can listen to the playoff game in a car wash, under a bridge, when the sun goes down.
You know, doesn't matter.
All those things are available to you now.
And of course, we will be joined by Nate Taylor here in about 10 minutes. We will talk some Chiefs with him briefly. He's going to join us in studio.
Ask him if he's going to the game on Wednesday.
We should. He's a big Royals fan as well. So Nate Taylor's going to join us in a little bit. But in the meantime, let's get to the random question of the day.
Sorry, Kramer is helping us for a little bit on the show, and he doesn't know where random question.
Not Kramer's fault.
We've had
some moving parts today, unfortunately.
It happens. Yeah, it happens. For you, Gold, for you, Kramer, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. And, of course, you can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. We'd love if you'd like and subscribe our video channels as we continue to put out content on those at the Fan 965. I got to ask this question. Is the weather starts to change. You and I are hoodie weather.
It is.
I see you bought a postseason 2024.
I had to.
You couldn't wait till they went on sale like me.
So I'll be honest.
You had to dive in. I get it.
I wanted the one that said October ready. But a lot of the places are out of the October ready
one.
I do too. It's the dry fit material that I like. Now it's the only material I'll buy for the sports hoodies. Anyway, real quick, so they're out. They said they aren't ordering more unless the team gets to the ALCS.
Wow.
So this was like the last hoodie they had left. And I don't have any Royals hoodies. All my other ones are from 14 and 15. It was time for a new one.
All of mine are from 14 and 15. I typically wait until they go on sale, but maybe I'll cave this year and buy early. But for you guys, I was asked this question, is the weather starts to change more hoodie weather. I'm going to ask you, either underrated, overrated, or properly rated.
I've heard of this before.
That's the random question. But like the thing I'll give you now is sitting outside in a fire pit.
Oh.
Is it properly rated? Is it overrated? Or is it underrated? I will say one of the downsides is the stinking of smoke. I feel like you got to strip naked before you walk inside your house. That's a real downside for it, and I don't think we discuss it enough when we're talking about sitting outside around a fire.
So it's properly rated, 100% with you on the smoke smell, and you're like, well, Gold, you can't smell anyway. The last 4 days, randomly, starting to smell again, which is a great development for those of you who have been listening to the show for a while. If you're new, you're like, what the hell is he talking about? Since December, I haven't been able to smell. Magically, during this playoff run for the Royals, the last 4 days, I've been able to start slowly smelling again, including the firewood. Last night, I ended up not going to a bar to watch the game. I watched
over at a
coworker or friend's house, and they had a fire pit going. So this hoodie I wore last night, and it reeked of smoke. I threw it in the washer before I went to bed just so I could wear it today, and it reeked. Otherwise, the whole studio would smell like smoke. So I think it's properly rated. A good fire pit, man, a few drinks around a fire pit, watching some baseball is perfect.
First two texts say underrated, say I do it every night, sitting outside, cocktail, top-tier activity.
Okay.
I think as you get older, it becomes more of a top-tier, where I don't want to go somewhere. I think it's better with people. I don't want to just sit out by the fire by myself. I want there like to be 6, 8, 9 people. I'm not starting a fire if it's just me and the wife all the time, right? Every once in a while, fine. But I prefer to like a group activity.
Well, I'll tell you what right now. I'm going to light that fire pit outside your place when I'm staying there here in a few weeks.
In a couple weeks.
Yeah. No, I can't
Big
wait.
Big couch, you know?
Make
sectional.
Sure you wipe down that shower, Kramer.
Oh, I gotcha. No, it's properly rated. I love a good fire pit.
So properly rated.
Yeah.
I think if anything, properly rated is I'm not going to give it underrated. It's not underrated. Yeah. It's an outside. I like sitting outside drinking in a lot of cases. In my case, I've got like the screened in porch, the bugs and the smoke smell. We cannot ignore those for any activity where you're just sitting around a fire, right? There's a limit to its maximum enjoyment. Mm. I think properly rated is probably right. I'm surprised someone was telling me it's underrated, saying it is one of also their favorite fall activities. It's hard because it's an activity. I think it seems great because you just got done spending 4 months not being able to do it. Like, it's taken away. Any activity would be like, this is the greatest thing on the planet if they took it away from you for 4 months and then you got to enjoy it.
So it says you can also get the smokeless fire pit ones, too. You know, those, the little, what are those?
I have one of those. Solo stove.
Yeah. But there's not a smoky. Not nearly a smoky.
Not nearly a smoky. I'm not saying the smoke doesn't exist.
I actually don't mind the smell.
It has the smoke in your face. It doesn't prevent the smell of smoke from permeating your clothing.
The smell is not an issue when you're doing it. It's what you say, which is like the next morning and... You know, it's like being at a, you know, if you were at a casino or whatever, where like the next morning you're showering and you can like smell the smoke coming off your hair as you're showering. Like that's the part you don't like. But the actual smell in the moment. Yeah.
In the moment, I don't mind. It's the post one. Someone says just get a smokeless one. Just get like a propane one.
Doesn't that take away of
I think
it
changes the ambience. Uh-huh. I think that the energy, the vibe is better, right? If you've got like an actual fire going. Maybe that's just me though. Maybe
someone says, Gold, you can just say you were watching it at Fesco's. He said he had his son over for the game. Oh, did he? Okay. Yeah, I was over there, yes. They have started calling me his son on their show.
Why?
I don't know.
It makes me...
I had a good time, though. It was nice to go over there. It was nice when they invited me. I was going to go to a bar. They're like, well, he lives 5 minutes from me. That's why. And like, why just watch it here? We have two TVs set up on the patio. Why not? I was like, sure.
What was the cocktail arrangement? You BYOB? There was no
alcohol consumed last night.
By anybody?
I can't speak for everybody. I don't know.
I can't speak for everybody.
I don't know. I don't think so.
You were outside at a fire pit with a playoff baseball game and you didn't crack one beer?
I was working.
Are you an American?
I was working.
Do you love this country?
I was working.
I doubt you're committed.
I am able. This is the reverse. 2 years ago, you said I couldn't go on. I am capable on a weeknight of just having a normal beverage. It's possible.
What'd you drink? Water?
What do you think?
A Propel?
Yep.
It's just it.
What? How can you say yuck? It's water. Flavored.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm out on flavored
water.
I'm
still waiting for the Propel sponsorship. All these years of free love.
All these years on the video stream.
All these years.
Of you consuming
still
Propel.
Waiting. Still waiting. Yeah, no, man. Last night we were talking about just the viewership. We'll talk more about this in the 1 o'clock hour. Ask Nate about it. Because how you balance watching Royals and Chiefs. But let's talk a little Chiefs/Royals with Nate Taylor. I want to ask him about what we saw from Juju Smith-Schuster and the knee that was supposedly going to explode at any time a year ago, according to Albert Breer. Nate Taylor joins us next.